This is Pearls and Swine, a ministry of Evangel Community Church here in Houghton, Michigan. I'm Levi, and we have Nate and Travis with me, and we like to talk about topics that are near and dear to your heart. They are topics that the Bible also talks about, and so we try to use everyday Bible lessons and apply those to our lives. And today, we're talking about fear. We live in kind of a weird time. This is probably the weirdest time that I've lived in my 45 years of breathing air here on Earth. We have pandemics. We had recession in there somewhat. There's natural disasters. And the reality is, if none of those things were there, we'd still have daily anxieties. Like Travis saw a snake the other day.
Yeah, I had one of the most afraid, fearful days of my life a couple Sundays ago. We're wandering around the church getting things ready for Sunday. And I come out into the hall in between the worship center and the kids ministry area. And I'm like, what is that? It looked like a piece of weather stripping in the middle of the floor. And I'm like, there's not usually weather stripping in tile out there. So I walked a little bit closer and it was a slithery looking thing. So I did what any manly man would do. And I booked it over to the kids ministry area and I found Nate. And I'm like, dude, you got to go check this out. And the snake was still alive. I came within like...
It was so cute, man.
It was not cute.
I picked it up. It was like
it's like a cobra boa constrictor mix and it was going to kill me. So... It was nasty, but I...
Dude, you turned white.
I did.
And
I hate...
You are a tan fella.
I'm like Indiana Jones.
Dude, you are...
I'm like Indiana Jones, and I don't do snakes.
You were freaking out, and so I had to take care of him and place him outside in his natural habitat where I'm sure he's thriving and growing really long.
The snake, not me. Not me.
This is true.
But yeah, it was scary, man.
We all have things that we're afraid of and things that kind of freak us out, and I'm scared of the dark still. I don't like darkness. We live out in the country a little bit, and if we don't, I mean, if I'm going outside at night, I am turning on every house light we have, and I got a flashlight, because it freaks me out. I always think there's going to be a Sasquatch or a bear, one of the two. And it's dark, and then there's all these weird sounds and whatnot going on, so when you're all by yourself. So, yeah, it's a little bit scary, and I think we all deal with that fear. Well, the Bible talks about fear on what we're supposed to do with it. People who were followers of Jesus early on, they had a lot of things to be fearful of. They had the Apostle Paul coming out and taking him to jail or killing them until Jesus came and knocked him off his horse and spoke to him. And he, you know, went and started following Jesus himself. But Paul gives us some very practical and comforting commands of what to do with fear. He says that fear shouldn't It shouldn't govern our hearts. It shouldn't govern our lives. But we should take our request to God through prayer. And so when we're fearful, I don't know if snakes...
Oh, I was praying, man. I was praying at that point.
But when we have those things, whether it be a sickness or even this pandemic thing, like, you know, kids are back to school and there's some fear I think parents have. Like, what is this, a little petri dish that we're, you know, putting them into and those types of things? And how is that all going to work out? So there's fear. But what do you do with that fear? The scriptures tell us that we're to give thanksgiving and we're to present our requests, make those requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Somehow, through prayer, something crazy happens, and we're able to have a peace.
It's true. I've experienced that personally in my own life as a young teen struggling with death. And just thinking through, there's going to be a point in which I die. And that freaked me out. And I was so afraid and not sure what to do with it because I knew, like, God, I'm supposed to have eternal life with you. I'm supposed to be in heaven with you. But this whole idea completely freaks me out. And yeah, prayed about it. Asked God, deliver me from this, like, horrific mindset that I have of just fading into nothing. And a verse that spoke to me in this is in Hebrews. It talks about how Jesus is flesh and blood, and that through death, he destroyed the one who is Satan, has the power of death, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And I read that verse and I was like, oh my goodness, that's me. I'm afraid of death. And it was kind of this enslaving idea because it was something that was constantly on the back of my mind. It came to a point where finally God just... help me understand, like, hey, I give you life every day. I wake you up in the morning. I give you this renewal every day. And so you can trust me when it comes ultimately to your death.
The Bible really just tells us that there are going to be things that are troubles that we face. Oh, yeah. And those troubles that we face are going to produce some anxieties. And our initial response to calamity or adversity is often that feeling of fear. But it's, I think what you're saying right there is this acting out of faith, like God's got this, even if it's not what we think or what we hope for, he's still got it. Like Jesus, I think he was scared when he was going to the cross. It seemingly indicates that, you know, he's sweating blood when he's about to go there. And he says to the, hey, take this cup from me, meaning take this outcome from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And he goes to the cross and he dies and it's horrific. And he's scared. He's scared in this situation, but he's also trusting the Father in that situation. And I think that there's an example there that when we're in those dire situations, it's not pretending that fear isn't real or mustering up all the courage that we can, but it's acknowledging our fears and making them known to the Lord. So when everyone else is panic, we're to pray, is what the scriptures tell us.
Yeah, I like how you brought that into it, because there are natural responses to our human bodies for fear, right? We talk about fight or flight, and you know, you've got faith. And Jesus exemplified the faith part of that. And I think, you know, whether it's a snake or I worry about tomorrow and what that's going to look like and what the future is going to hold and the plans that I don't really have control of, we can go before God. We can bring those to him with prayer and petition, and his perfect love cast out all fear. That doesn't mean that it casts out all of the circumstances that we're going to face. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be snakes in the hallway and things like that, but it gives us that ability, that weapon to use against fear. And I think that just brings a lot of comfort to me.
Yeah, I don't think we just intentionally go, we just live by faith, you know, and we just do whatever we want. I think when you start, it's a slippery slope. It's a very, it's one of those situations where you use some common sense. God mm-hmm. gave you a brain for a reason, right? Like you need to use some common sense. Even Jesus, when he was out and he was being tempted by Satan, he said, hey, turn these rocks into bread. And then he brings them up onto the temple and he says, if you jump off, like 10,000 angels, they'll come and catch you. And what does he say? He refutes that with scripture. And he says to Satan, when he's being tempted, he says, hey, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we don't go, I'm living by faith, I'm jumping out in front of the city bus. That's just craziness, right? In the same thing, sometimes fear is actually just a response of common sense.
Yeah. We need to be afraid of some things. Like, we're all dads. Our kids do some crazy stuff, and like, they need to be afraid about taking their bike off a 12-foot jump or
the thunder of dad.
Yeah, or the thunder of dad. But, you know, we have a healthy fear. We're supposed to have a healthy fear of the Lord, too, and that's part of this faith component. One of the things that I really like about Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about all these things about what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, talks about prayer, and talks about all these things, and worry comes into that picture as he's teaching. And it's like, listen, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to, the birds of the fields don't worry. The flowers don't worry about what they're going to wear. The birds don't worry about what they're going to eat. And do you not know that your heavenly Father cares about you so much, immensely more than those things? When I look back on the times when I'm afraid, I feel like in the dark, I'm all alone. Something can get me, but we're not alone. We've got that powerful, powerful weapon of the Holy Spirit within us when we make that decision to have Christ come in.
I'm still turning on lights.
Well, it doesn't mean that you're not using common sense, though, just like you said.
Yeah, oftentimes fear becomes that worry, and that, you know, the scriptures really indicate that tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Like, calm it down, basically. You know, calm down. You're going to be okay, or God's going to walk with you through that. The Lord of peace is himself continually granting us peace in every circumstance. And to live in the promise of that is really difficult sometimes, especially it's not so much me that I'm often worried about, but I think it's our kids, our wives, whatever. And especially if, you know, you get that diagnosis of something, you know, your wife gets diagnosed with a sickness or your mom or whatever it is, that fear and that worry really comes into play in those moments.
Fear is such a tool of Satan, right? Because when you're afraid, you're often paralyzed, and that's going to keep you from practicing that faith. That's going to keep you from even sometimes the fight or flight response. You just get paralyzed. You're stuck there. You can't make the next move. And Satan really loves that, I think, in our lives when we're not going to reach out to God in this thing. We're just going to, I'm paralyzed.
Yeah, because Satan's effective either way.
Yeah.
Right? If we're not doing anything, he's effective. Yeah. So, yeah, I keep coming back to this idea of remembering that God is with us, and not that that means things are going to be easy, not that that means that things aren't still going to be painful and hurt, but if we can remember that he's with us and he loves us and cares for us more than we even care for ourselves, we can cast at least our anxiety upon him and still wade through the darkness and the scariness of the whole situation. And oftentimes we see God leading us through and bringing us through in those and providing us sometimes the peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds. We need to remember that God is with us in the fear, because the fear is oftentimes very natural and it is very legitimate.
We see that over and over in scripture that you're going to walk through fearful situations and circumstances. Isaiah talks about when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you or overcome you. You walk through the fire, you won't be burned, the flame will not consume you. It goes on, because fear not, I am with you. God's going to walk with us through those things. We're not going to be left abandoned and alone. And that's the goodness of God that we can hold on to in those circumstances.
Yeah. One of the sides of fear is common sense types things. I'm not going to go wrestle a bear tomorrow.
You should.
But I should. Yeah.
But if you train.
No, I'm not going to.
You can do it in a year or so.
No. I think there's the stuff that is natural and is a part and is actually, in one sense, a gift from God that we're able to use some common sense of what we're going to do. You know, going 120 miles an hour in our car, while seemingly sounds like a good idea and fun, is probably not the best idea, right? We should be a little bit fearful of someone pulling out in front of us or whatever, something happening, a deer running out in the road or whatever. But there's also just like the fear, like oftentimes we get people here, you know, single people, and they're like, am I ever going to get married again? Or am I ever going to get married at all? And there's just this fear of not having something, especially a spouse. And, you know, one of the things that I think is very clear in the scripture is that God did not give us that spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so one of the things that fear sometimes does is makes us choose poor decisions. Mm-hmm. Somebody who doesn't have a bunch of stuff, they're scared they're not going to have the resources they need. And so what do? They go out and they try to make it happen by maybe stealing something. It's driven by fear. It's driven by not having. It's driven by, I'm not going to be able to obtain whatever that is. I'm going to marry this person, even though I kind of know this is probably not a good fit, because I don't want to be alone. I'm scared to be alone. Fear can drive us into choices that are really poor at times.
I think another one of those byproducts of fear is doubt. And we probably all see this a lot in the men's ministry realm. I know I've talked with a few buddies of mine from back in the day, and like, it's a fearful thing to lead your family and be the spiritual leader of your family. And I've had conversations with guys where it's like, I'm afraid to even pray in front of my family. How do I do those things? And it's like, dude, God put you in this position. He put you in this time, in this place. He's given you these people to lead. And you really probably have more things in your arsenal that you're equipped to be able to do this well than you actually think. But when the doubt comes in and it's like, no, I can't do this, that comes back to that paralyzing fear again. And it's another victory for Satan. Like, he doesn't want you to be praying with your wife. He doesn't want you to be leading your family and saying, hey guys, I know we're all tired. We stayed up late watching movies on Sunday or Saturday night, but Sunday morning's coming. Let's go to church. Like, sometimes you have to take that faith step and get out on the water that Jesus is calling us to. And that's why I'm super thankful for God's word, because he gives us that kind of roadmap of not specifically how to do it, but we know where we need to go. And that you can hang your hat on. You don't have to have doubts in that.
Yeah. So I have this verse that I've always kind of wrestled with. It's in 1 John chapter 4, and it's this idea that perfect love casts out fear. And it talks about, for fear has to do with judgment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And
perfected.
That's what it says, perfected in love.
I think it's perfected, but...
Well, what do you think?
That's King James, dude.
You got the King right Jimmy there. Going?
Yeah, isn't that perfected?
No, it's perfected.
Oh, I learned something today. There we go. But
so you don't have to have fear in saying goofy stuff, dude. We love you.
Oh, thanks, man. But that kind of fear, I assume, is this fear of judgment that drives us to understand God's love for us. And so as we try to eliminate that fear, this fear of judgment, this fear that God hates us, that God is going to smash us into the ground because
smite
of
us.
Bad things that we've done, we need to embrace his love for us, right?
Yeah, because it's perfect, right? Yeah. His love is perfect in Christ. He sent his son to die on a cross for us. I don't know what better example that he would give up his own son for us people who should have been smited by him, and he chose not to because he said, hey, I'm going to send my son who is absolutely perfect, and I'm going to send him to the most unjust death ever. And yeah.
But it's not like this love. If we have all the love in the world, we're never going to have any fear.
Right.
Right?
Well, because I don't think it's perfected. I just wanted to say that word.
Perfected. It's not perfected in us. But yeah. And so because God is love, we can look to him to experience his love and to not have this fear of his judgment, fear of him completely going off on us because of the bad things that we've done, because he loves us. And that should still give us confidence in those situations where we do have other fears. Like what you're saying, Travis, of fearing on how to lead well, fearing how to pray and be a good example for our kids and that kind of thing. God loves us and he will lead us and guide us in some of those things as we take these steps to know and to try to practice it.
It's because of that assurance that we have in Christ, because of his finished work on the cross, that we are perfected.
And thank you.
And we can move forward, and that's the antidote to being paralyzed for our fear. Like, we're not going to know everything. Doubts are going to creep in. Fear is going to try to stranglehold us. But because of Christ, because of God's love for us in that, we can take steps forward.
Because there's hope, right?
Yeah.
Like, when there's an absence of hope, fear is coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, cause what's going to happen? Like, what are we going to do here? I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. What's next in these types of things? And so, you know, the scriptures tell us in Romans 15:13, it's this kind of like, Paul is really asking for the church there, and he's asking that the hope of God would fill them with all joy and peace in believing. So believing who God is, believing who Jesus is, believing in the one he has sent, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And I think when you have hope, it really diminishes some of the fear that's there.
That's well said.
Hey, we know there's a lot of fear out there right now, and let us just pray with you guys and for our community as we go about this pandemic. So, Father, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. God, we ask that you would protect our community. You'd protect us from being overwhelmed by this virus. We ask that you would protect our loved ones. And God, even if someone does enter into the sickness of this virus, God, we ask that you would heal their bodies. God, we ask that you would give hope in those places where people are at right now that feel hopeless. We ask that you would give peace and that they would cast their cares upon you, that we would cast our cares upon you, and that you would answer those fully, and that we would sense this peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us, guys. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, or even just topics that you'd like for us to cover, feel free to reach out. Give me a shout. Travis@evangelup.org is my email. You can give us a call. We've got a text number. Nate knows that really well.
906-233-6611. Text us anything on that, and we'll get back to you.
What was that word again? Perfected?
Perfected.
Perfected.
Or perfected.
Perfected. Well, be perfect again today. See you guys.
Amen.